Amen, amen. Have a seat. On that video, we had 5 baptisms in the 9:30 service last week, so you saw those today. I will just tell you that I got hung up. The sound was in and out there. I got hung up talking before the service, had to get up and get changed. I forgot to put my baptism mic on, and so that sound gaffe is on me. That one's my fault. Just make sure we know that it's not Matt's, it's not the sound booth. That one was on the preacher. I think everything went great in our baptism this morning, so you'll see that baptism next week. Along with, we've got 2 live baptisms scheduled for this service next week, 2 live baptisms scheduled for the 9:30 service next week. And every time I baptize, I get changed, I get in that water, it's warm, I have to rush to get changed back. I'm sweating the rest of the service, but I will sweat till Jesus comes if we baptize every Sunday. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's worthy of a hand. And Matt's right. I hope you understand this. It's not normal. We have 40,000 or so Baptist churches, Southern Baptist churches in the U.S. 15 to 20,000 of those baptize 0 a year. 0 a year. If you baptize more than 10 people a year, you're in the top 5 to 10% of baptisms in the whole Southern Baptist Convention. We baptize, East Leesville Baptist Church has baptized for 76 plus years, on average, 48 people a year, just consistently over and over and over and over again. God is bringing people to himself. It has nothing to do with Tommy Kiker. It has little to not much to do with East Leesville Baptist Church. It's God's faithfulness, and we must be sure to always give him the glory, because I promise if he removes his hand, we'll see, we'll have to, that thing will dry up. And so praise be to God, and we're excited about that. I want to share something with you this morning that surprised me over the last couple weeks as I was thinking about this message. And then as I really dug in on Monday, I recognized I have never preached this text in all my 30 plus years of preaching. I've never, and here's the thing. There's only so many Christmas texts you can preach. There's not many stories in the Bible. Last Sunday's sermon, you've heard before. Most of you don't remember for a second that you've heard it before, but you heard it. I think I preached that one last year. Now, if you're like my mama and you write down whatever the preacher preaches in your Bible, you're like, he's preaching this again. I cannot find a note anywhere where I've kept records of, I keep records of what I preach and where I preach, everywhere I preach, and I don't think I've ever preached this text, but it's one of the most common Christmas stories. And I don't know why I've skipped it. I have had a ball just studying through this text. Can I just tell you, Matt had no clue what I was going to preach, for sure. He normally does, because he's known Genesis for like, 16 years now. But I'm not quite. I'm exaggerating, right? Y'all understand. But he knows where I'm going. And we'll have a meeting in January, and we'll plan out the preaching for the rest of next year and probably part of 2025. And so normally I can tell that Matt's paying attention, and he's picking the songs based on where he knows I'm going. Well, Matt didn't know what I was preaching today, because like I said, I didn't know for sure what I was preaching today till Monday morning. But then when you see the text, you think, well, go tell it on the mountain. That kind of fits. And then I would say my 2 major themes of the whole message are, go tell the story and joy of the Lord. And so I think you've heard those themes. But we're in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. And it's the story of the shepherds. The story of the shepherds. Can I just give you this? The shepherds were at the manger scene. The wise men were not. Amen. Y'all all right? Praise the Lord. That's free. And if you're going to put up a manger scene, at least be biblical about it. All right? Next week, I'll tell you why it's not biblical to have your wise men at the manger scene. If you do, put you a little piece of tape or something and write on there, 1.5-year gap or something like that. Because when they came into the house. They came into the house. Jesus was a little toddler. Joseph didn't keep Mary in that stable for 2 years with that baby, all right? All right, just saying. That's an aside. It's not like it's, I don't think it's sin. It's just biblically inaccurate. So if you're going to be biblically accurate, if you're going to be, that's free. Y'all good? That's 2 minutes you'll never get back. Amen. Praise the Lord. In Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, is right after Jesus had been born. Mary and Joseph had made their way to Bethlehem to be taxed. And we're going to save the birth until Christmas Eve service. But right after that happens, it says in verse 8, and in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear, is what the ESV says. But I remember reading the King James growing up as a boy. It says, and they were sore afraid. And I always wonder what it meant to be sore afraid. That you were so afraid, you were sore. But they were sore afraid. They had great fear. And you and I would too. If we were minding our own business outside by the fire at night, and here an angel appears and speaks to us. We see this in Scripture when God speaks to folks or he sends angels to speak to folks. There's a pretty common reaction for these kind of encounters. In Daniel chapter 10, verses 7 and 8, this was either an angel of the Lord or this might have been a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. Daniel has a vision and he writes, "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength." Back in chapter 1, Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, Elizabeth was to give birth to John the Baptist, and an angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah back in chapter 1 of the book of Luke in verse 12, and it says, "And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him." Then John the apostle, the writer of the Gospel of John, the letters 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and then the book of Revelation, he writes in Revelation 1:17, he sees the Lord himself. He says, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, 'Fear not, I am the first and the last.'" The angels appear to the shepherds, and they are just awestruck. They fall to their knees. They are sore afraid. They have no idea what's going on. And yet they are about to receive the greatest birth announcement ever shared. You know, nowadays, if you have a gender reveal or anything like that, most of the world thinks if it's not videoed, it didn't happen, right? Or like everybody that gets engaged, not everybody, but most people that get it. I don't even know if Caroline and I officially got engaged. You know why? Because there's no video and nobody else was there but us. Well, actually, there was a couple upstairs that lived in that apartment because I needed them to be there or my wife wouldn't have come in. And we were never alone in a building by ourselves until we were married. We were just, she just struggled with being alone with me. It was just, you know, like, it was tough on her. So I just wanted to protect her purity and oh, that's a lie. But anyway, praise the Lord. I don't normally lie in the pulpit. I promise you, if you're our guest, I don't normally. But I remember I proposed to Carol Ann in the exact spot where I got saved. When I was 8 years old, my mom and dad were at seminary. My dad was in seminary. We lived in 91 McDowell Drive. It had orange shag carpet, and right there underneath the stairs, there was a closet. And I remember kneeling on my knees June the 14th, 1981, and asking Christ to save me right there at 91 McDowell Drive. Now, about 20 years later, when I went off to seminary and they asked me where I wanted to live, I said, "Well, if 91 McDowell Drive is available, I'd love to live there." And it was, and they had just taken out the shag carpet from 1981. And so I lived there for a couple years, but I had moved out. And when Carol Ann and I started dating in 2002, by 2003, somebody else lived in that apartment. And I had arranged for me to be able to propose to my wife in the same spot that I had accepted Christ. And so I knelt there on January 28, 2003, and I said, "This is where I made the most important decision in my life, and it's where I want to make the second most important decision in my life. Would you be my wife?" And it seemed like about 5 minutes, but it was probably about 15 seconds. She didn't say anything. I said, "This would be a good time." We already had the date set for the wedding. This was just like, I thought it was just formality, but she was thinking about it, Brian. I didn't know if she was going to say yes or no. But I'm not sure it happened because nobody else was there, and there's not a YouTube video. But anyway, right? We've got to video everything, and we feel like it didn't happen. That's just an aside. But this is the great, you'll never beat Jesus' birth announcement because you don't have angels at your disposal. And so they're here. The shepherds are in the field. The angels come and appear, and they make the greatest birth announcement that there's ever been. And the angel said there in verse 10, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And then he goes on to give them some evidence about how they will find the baby. "I give you good news of great joy that is for all people." They've been waiting for the Messiah. They've been waiting not a few days, not a few decades, not a few years, but they've been waiting centuries since they had heard anything from their God. You know, we talked last week in Matthew 1 through 17, and there's three stages of that from Abraham and down through the kings. But that final stage that we see in the genealogy in Matthew chapter 1, it talks about it's from the Babylonian captivity to the birth of Christ. 586 BC or so is when Jerusalem was destroyed, the nation of God's taken out in captivity, and from 586 BC to about 400 BC, all they heard from God was his prophets that they needed to repent and return to God. Repent and return to God. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Malachi, Haggai, Lamentations, all these prophets, all these prophetic books, and then finally in Malachi, about 400 BC, they refuse to repent, they refuse to return, and God dropped silent. He didn't go anywhere. He didn't cease to be God. But for 400 years, they've heard little to nothing from their God, outside of the beauty of creation, outside of the normal day-to-day signs that God gives us, but they had not heard any clear message from their God. But on that hillside, after the birth of Jesus, the angels speak to these shepherds and said, "We give you good news of great joy." Let me tell you a little bit about that word that's translated good news. In our translation, it's two words, good news, but in the original language, it's one word. Euangelizo is the word. E-U-A-N-G-E-L, angel, I-Z-O. That's how you transliterate it. Euangelizo. The prefix E-U means good. It's kind of like the word logos. Eulogos. Eulogy is a good word. When I die, I hope somebody might say a eulogy, a good word about me. Euangel, angel. Angel is a message. An angel is a messenger from God. An angel is a message. This is a good message. This is good news of great joy. The greatest news ever told is Jesus has been born. Because that entails that he's going to live, he's going to die, he's going to be buried, and he's going to rise again, and he's coming back. Good news for all people. Euangelizo. At the right time, in the right lineage, at the right spot, God sends his son. This is glorious good news. Do not miss it as we walk through this Christmas season. We hear some things over and over and over again. And if we're not careful, we begin to make light of them. We cannot make light of this glorious good news. The shepherds hear this glorious good news. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. The angels declaring from the very beginning, listen, this is the Jews' Messiah, but this Messiah is for everybody, not just the Jews. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." You might have a translation, or you might have heard it. And glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men. That's not what the text says. The text is better translated, it's rightly translated, with those among whom he is pleased. Understand this, and understand this well. There was an angel by himself, makes this announcement, "I give you good news of great joy that is for all people." And all of a sudden, this single angel that's talking, he is met up with. They might have been there the whole time, we don't know, but all of a sudden, they break out in song, and it is a celebration. And the part of their message that we hear that Luke records is part of their song is, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." The good news is for all people, but the peace only comes for those that have rightness with God through Christ Jesus. The good news is for all people. It is available to all people, but peace only comes to those to whom God is pleased. Can I tell you? Can I remind you how you can be pleasing in God's sight? There's only one way, and his name is Jesus. Amen. Through Christ Jesus. Oh, what a glorious good news message. But it's only effective. It's only efficient to those that receive this great gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, and are at peace with God. Christ's sacrifice on the cross was sufficient to cover the sin of every man, woman, boy, and girl that's ever walked the face of the earth. But it's efficient only to those who receive this incredible gift. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The first part, we see a majestic visitation. Can you imagine how that hillside lit up and how these shepherds saw the angels, how they heard this glorious announcement, how they heard the song and praise by the angels? And now we see the only logical response. Look at verses 15 through 17 with me in the text. They've seen the announcement. They've seen the angels. Verse 15 says, when the angels went away. So the song ends and the angels exit stage right. They went away from them into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. They see this glorious announcement. They hear this glorious good news. And the only thing that makes sense is, let's go check this thing out. Let's go see what has happened. Notice they didn't say, let's go find out if this is true. Let's go see if we really heard right. They said, let's go over to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened. They need no further evidence. They know they're going to find the Messiah. We don't know how far away they were from Bethlehem. Obviously, they were able to go that same evening, that same night, it seems. They were probably just a few miles outside of town, but they made haste. And they found Mary and Joseph. This is a miracle in of itself. Everybody was in Bethlehem. They'd come, everybody from Bethlehem was in Bethlehem. You remember why, right? They had to travel to their hometown to be taxed. Man, if I'm going to take a trip, I sure hope it's not to be taxed. I'm glad you can give on, you can not give. They can steal from you. I mean, you pay your taxes online now, right? You can pay them online. If I had to go to Monroe, North Carolina, pay my taxes, I'd be perturbed. But everybody's in Bethlehem, but God brings them favor. Now, maybe the star was there. Maybe they saw the star too. We don't know. The Bible doesn't say that. But they find Mary and Joseph, just like it was said, there laying in the manger is Jesus. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning it. They could not help but tell what they had seen and heard when they met Jesus. Kind of reminds me of Peter and John. You remember the story in Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John are out in the square. They're preaching, and they're able to heal this man that had been lame since birth. And then the crowd gathers, and they share the gospel. Then they end up getting arrested. I've never preached so bad that I got arrested. But they preached so good that they got arrested. And then the religious leaders, they weren't very spiritual, but the religious leaders said, do not speak in the name of this Jesus any longer. And listen to what Peter and Paul said. Acts 4, 18 through 20 said, they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. That's what it ought to be like when we meet Jesus. We cannot help but speak. We cannot help but share our story about how we know this very same Christ. And the shepherds could not help. And we'll say, I've seen an angel come to me. I'd probably tell that story more too. Can I just tell you this? We were dead in our trespasses and sin, and Jesus brought us back to life. That's a story to tell. But do you have a story? Maybe the reason you don't tell your story is you really don't have one. I'm not talking about some sin-filled testimony where God brought you out of this, that, or the other. I'm talking about that you know that I was separated from God. I was dead in my trespasses and sins, Ephesians chapter 2, and God saved me. Can I just tell you this? If you think you were just a good old boy and you were all right before you met Jesus, I can promise you, one, you weren't. And two, you were dead. And if you've been saved, now you're alive. That's a story. Tell your story. But do you have a story? Because I promise you, I really believe with all my heart, when you meet Jesus, you'll want to tell the story. But sometimes life has a way of trying to beat the joy of the story out of us. And my prayer for us is that God would restore the joy of our story. I was 8 years old when I got saved. My sin list wasn't all that long. I already knew how to be a sinner, though. I'd backtalk mom and dad. I'd write on the wall with crayons and, you know, whatever. But I was a little sinner. If you've had youngins, you know you can tell they're sinners by eight. Amen, amen. It's there already. We don't teach our children. Nobody taught me how to lie and pout and fuss and whine and complain. It was already in there. Then you become a Baptist and learn how to do it better. Oh, never mind. That's different. Yeah. I was dead in my trespasses and sins. My little 8-year-old heart recognized I was a sinner that needed a Savior, and I just cried out to the Savior to save me. Did I understand then what I understand now? No, but I understood enough to know that I needed Jesus. What's your story? Tell your story. The shepherds get there and they tell what they had seen. Of course they did. Of course we should. Of course they should have. Can I tell you this, though? When you tell the story, there's always going to be different responses to the testimony of the gospel. There's always going to be different ways that people receive it. Now, don't be a jerk. Don't be obnoxious telling your story. You bunch of sinners! No, no. I've just never found it to be effective. Yes, you're a bunch of sinners. Yes, I'm a sinner. Tell the story of the good news. I bring you good news of great joy that shall be for all people. I want you to have peace and that God would be pleased with you. But the only way God will be pleased with us is through Christ Jesus. Look at the response to the story, verse 18. And all who heard it wondered in what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. There will always be different responses. We don't see it here in this text, but sometimes when we share the story and out throughout the New Testament, when the gospel is shared, there's disbelief. Can I just tell you, you share the gospel with someone and they don't respond right away, don't feel bad. They saw Jesus live his entire life. They saw him do miracles right in front of him. They saw him die on a cross, and they even saw him rise from the grave, and many of them still did not believe. It's not the way you share the gospel, it's just they just don't believe. But then there's those that wonder. It says they wondered about what the shepherds told them. These are folks that are considering it, thinking about it. I've shared the gospel with folks and they not get saved right then, but I could tell they were thinking about them. Wouldn't it be great if the creator of the universe loved you so much that he paid the price for your sinfulness to make things right between you and him, and then he loved you so much he gave his only begotten son that if you would just believe in him, you'd be saved and you'd spend eternity in heaven, a place that is perfect with no pain, no sorrow. Can I just tell you, even if they don't believe it, people want to believe it. But sometimes they just wonder and they've got to come to that faith. And then there's those like Mary. It said Mary treasured those things. And Mary already knew there was something different about this child, right? The angel had told her, Gabriel had told her, hey, this is the Messiah. Mary already knew these things. But Mary's got to be trying to work some things out still, right? But she heard this story, and it's just more and more confirmation. She's treasuring these things in her heart. Joseph already knew. Mary had the angel come. Joseph kept having dreams. If I was Joseph, I'd have been scared to go to sleep. Every time that dude went to sleep, God told him something different to do. But Joseph knew. And the shepherds, they believed they could not help but praise the Lord. They went away praising God and worshiping and glorifying God for what they had seen and what they had been told. That ought to be our response. Great joy, glorifying and praising God for all that we have heard and seen. My friends, can I just remind you this morning, our God is good. He is worthy of our praise. Let me give you three takeaways and I'm done. In light of the shepherd's story, may we examine our response to the truth of Jesus. Do you have the joy of your salvation? Do you remember when you met Jesus Christ? In our baptism, Gavin Franco was our baptism this morning. Gavin shared with me he received Christ as a college student. He trusted in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. He had just never followed through with baptism, but he remembers when he met Jesus. Do you know your story? We need to examine our response to the truth of Jesus, because we ought to be just like the shepherds, that we can't help but share this glorious good news that is for all people. That Jesus was born. Jesus lived a sinless life. He died for our sins. He was buried, but he rose again. And right now, he sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding on your behalf and on my behalf. And one glorious day, he's going to return to take us to be with him. Tell your story. Examine your response to the truth. What do you believe about Jesus? What's your story? Life can be tough sometimes. Re-examine our response to this good news of great joy that the shepherds received. We have received as well if we are children of God. Number two, may the Lord restore. Renew and expand the joy of our salvation. Yeah. I shared something in the first service that I didn't intend to share, but I felt the Lord lead me to share it. And I wasn't going to share it in the second service because I didn't want to, but I feel like the Lord is compelling my heart to share it as well. Can I just tell you, preachers can lose the joy of their salvation too. And I hope you didn't notice too much. There's a couple people in this row and one person in the last service that might have noticed a little bit, but I can't remember when it was. It's been a couple years now. I'm past it. But somewhere in the 2021-ish, I can take you to my journal. And basically, I didn't know what to write. I didn't know exactly what to pray. I was pressing on. I asked the Lord to examine my heart. And there was some sin issues of impatience and anger and frustration. But I would just write out, Lord, grant me the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And the Lord, over time, restored love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Life will, do you remember 2020? I'm just asking. COVID. I was trained to get as many people in a room as you possibly can, and now they're telling me I can't. That messed with my head. And then that lady, she's no lady, but Laura, amen. And we're not even going to mention the name of that contracting company. It was a tough season. It was the toughest season of ministry I've ever been through in my life. And I wasn't me. I wasn't normal. I love Jesus. I love my family. I even like most of y'all, but it was not the same. And here's what I'm asking God for us. Restore, renew, and expand the joy of our salvation. As we consider the message that the shepherds received, the good news of great joy that is for all people. Can I tell you, he's able. He's able. It's not the same as it was in 2021. It's the joy of the Lord can be restored. Examine our response to the truth of Jesus. May the Lord restore, renew, and expand the joy of our salvation. And then may we be just like the shepherds, and may we go tell it on the mountain. Have your story. Have the joy of your story. And share our stories. Because the world needs to hear this good news of great joy that is for all people. Because they need peace with God, and the only way for them to be at peace with God is through Christ Jesus. Will you bow with me? What a night. in that field with the sheep. What a gift the shepherds. Shepherds would be considered unclean and unworthy. They were unclean ceremonially because they spent time with the dirty sheep out in the fields. But God chose on that glorious night to make these common, unattractive, unpopular people, trade group, one of the very first ones that got to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were scared to death at first, but then they heard the glorious good news of great joy that is for all people. They heard the angels in song celebrate and sing the truths of Jesus. And they went and they saw and they met Christ themselves, and they could not help but tell their story. Father, I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl in this place that they have a story of when they met Jesus. I pray that they have put their trust in Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. And if they have not yet, that in this time of response, they would come and take my hand or another pastor's hand and say, I want to have a story with Christ. I want to meet Jesus. And we can share with them what your word says you've already done that they might be saved. And then, Lord, for the rest of us, restore the joy. Renew the joy. Strengthen and expand the joy of our salvation. Remind us that there is good news of great joy that is for all people. And in Christ Jesus, we can walk in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. May you have your way as we respond to your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together.